There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Lots to do on the show. Can't wait to hear from you as well, I think. At the text line and the phone line, both at 343-0106. 343-0106. I think it's getting ready to happen here. Let's see. Can we go to that live sound?
Gaveling in.
Yeah, let's see. Is it happening here? Okay, they've gaveled in. So there's Vice President Harris overseeing certification of the election win of Donald Trump. Gavel. Mike Johnson standing by.
Mr. Speaker and members of Congress, pursuant to the Constitution and laws of the United States, the Senate and House of Representatives are meeting in joint session to verify the certificates and count the votes of the electors of the several states for President and Vice President of the United States.
Several.
After ascertainment has been had that the certificates are authentic and correct in form, the tellers will count and make a list of the votes cast by the electors of the several states. The tellers on the part of the two houses will take their places at the clerk's desk.
I wish she would say places, everyone, places. That would be a big deal if she would say it. So, okay, they're gaveling in there for certification of Trump's election win. I do wonder this. So you can talk about, you know, the bitter taste it's got to be for Vice President Harris to be certifying the person she ran against in this election. But I do just have a side question. If Donald Trump was what the Democrats said, the end of democracy, it was going to be a dictator on day one, it's going to be this horrible, then are you part and parcel to it if you're smiling up there and gaveling in? Let's go back to that sound.
Except that, yeah.
Okay. Tell me when they gaveled in again. How many times you gavel? Or is that just to shut everybody up?
We'll dispense with reading formal portions of the certificates after ascertaining that the certificates are regular in form and authentic. The tellers will announce the votes cast by the electors for each state, beginning with Alabama. Senator Fisher.
We'll get Alabama, so we'll probably cut away for a little bit here.
Madam President, the certificate of the electoral vote of the state of Alabama seems to be regular in form and authentic.
That's right.
And it appears therefrom that Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida received 9 votes for president, and J.D. Vance of the state of Ohio received 9 votes for vice president.
All right, so there you go. There's Alabama. Obviously, we got 49 to go on that, but it's, you know, the certification of Trump's election win. But yeah, it is, and while I like seeing, if the rhetoric had been different, I appreciate our system. And the idea that that Vice President Harris would be there to certify the election win of her adversary in the general, but the rhetoric that happened from her, from President Biden, that a threat to democracy, going to be a dictator. If you truly believe that, remember I said this way back during this when they said, well, this is the end of democracy. If Trump wins, it would be the end of our republic. I don't think they said republic. I'm sure they said democracy. Then I pointed out the number of Democrats that were already working on the next campaign cycle. right? The money coming in, setting up things. Because, listen, in 2 years, it's going to be good for the Democrats. If you truly thought it was the end, right, then would you be doing that? If I thought, you know, if you're somebody who's talking to me like, Sean, the end of times is next week. But by the way, I just made a big play on this stock. I think it's going to be huge. Give it 6 months. Which one do I believe? So if you truly believed the over-the-top rhetoric that this was the end, that if Donald Trump got back into the White House, this would truly be the end, would you be standing there certifying it and smiling? I'm just asking. So not that it applies. This is all rearview mirror, but let's look out the front window, right? The windshield here. Going forward, when does it ring hollow? When you said this is the end if Trump wins? If you try to use something like this again, we heard this before, didn't we? We heard this. And somehow you stood by and certified. Because people say, well, they're doing the right thing because that's a system. I agree. But if you truly believed the crap you said on the campaign trail and said that this would be the end, if Trump's back in, then why would you be standing there? Why would you be standing there certifying it? If I'm elected official and I can get burned in the fire there by the Nazis and they're asking me to certify Adolf Hitler, I don't show up that day. I'm out. Because I see what's coming. But we were told that was going to be the deal on the campaign trail by the Democrats. That's going to be the deal if Trump gets reelected. And you're standing by certifying the election win. Wouldn't you be absent? Wouldn't you say, I can't in good conscience do this? But that's not what's happening. So just thoughts on that, too. If you that rhetoric, you heard that rhetoric, and did it mean anything to you then? Would it even mean anything to you going forward? I'll tell you who's not getting certified. He's actually leaving office. Is Trudeau. I thought this was, I wouldn't say surprising, but I wouldn't have thought it was coming right now. He made the announcement earlier today up north of the 48th parallel.
So last night over dinner, I told my kids about the decision that I'm sharing with you today. I intend to resign as party leader, as prime minister, after the party selects its next leader through a robust nationwide.
Okay, so after they select their next leader through a robust, election cycle, not like what happened here with the Democrat Party in the United States. So Trudeau is leaving there in Canada. Now, I don't have time to talk about that. And by the way, it's debunked. As soon as I mention Trudeau, I'm sure people are going to be sending me pictures. He looks just like Fidel Castro. That all was, the timeline didn't line up on that, y'all. Now, that's more exciting than just talking about the change. We should, the discussion of should Canada be the 51st United State. But Trudeau is out. Trump is in. Do you see a sea change event going on right now? Now, this texter said, Sean, you've got to understand that Biden doesn't have a conscience, neither does Kamala Harris. Well, and there's a lot of them on both sides of the aisle that don't have a conscience. What I'm saying is the effect eventually, right? You cry wolf all the time. You're going to have to find something. I wonder what the new thing they're going to find about Trump, because if we're told it was this existential crisis, if Trump got reelected, then you go, but I'm here to certify the votes. Okay. All right. Am I surprised? No, but I just want to point that out. All right, coming back, more Midday Mobile. John Sharp joins us at 12:30. Got a lot to talk about with him, and the announcement's been made. Former AL1 Congressman Jerry Carl says he will not run for mayor of Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my buddy Trey. He's been doing it 16 plus years now. That means getting rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin counties. I don't know if there's a high season And it's, you know, I've never asked Trey, like, when it's busiest, but I would imagine there's a lot of it goes on this time of year. New Year's resolutions, clean slate, all that kind of stuff. And if you're getting straightened up, you know, at the house or the office or getting rid of that storage unit, you don't even need the stuff in there, you pay on every month. Time to make that thing happen with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It could be that you need, you know, big stuff out, like we've talked about it before, above ground pools, swing sets, storage buildings, those kind of things, or things inside a house. I've pointed out in the past, if you have a garage on your house, they're pretty cool because you can put your car in there. I mean, you can't because you got too much junk in there, but you know they're set up for that. Wherever the junk is, you need a God. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and it's a group that I've used. I mean, number one, because Trey's my buddy, but use him personally, use him with this radio station. So many of us here with Bigler Broadcasting have. But you can go look at the Google reviews. And as I've pointed out, Google reviews say something because, you know, people like to go online and complain. How many people are so satisfied with the service that they go online after getting the service and say, that was pretty awesome? Well, there are hundreds of your local folks, Mobile and Baldwin County, saying just that for Google reviews out there for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So you need that stuff gone. You need the junk gone. Make an appointment. You can do that today. You can make the appointment for when it works for you because they work with you. They find a time and a day that works for you and set a good old-fashioned appointment. Do it online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The name is the number. All right, still with the pomp and circumstance of certifying the Trump win. Let me go to the text line here for a second. Community Notes wannabe said, those were Trump's words, Sean. He said he wants to be a dictator. Okay. I mean, I can do the thing where, you know, I've said this before. I think Jeff says it a good bit, that the media or the left will take Trump literally, take him literally but not seriously, where his supporters take him seriously, not literally. But go back to when he said that, because I figured that would come up, Community Notes Wannabe, so good job for being the first up on that. So Trump had said he wanted to be a dictator what? Now, come on, Community Notes Wannabe, let's talk about how it was in context. Because it was a secondary answer when somebody said, oh, you know, the Democrats, something to the fact the Democrats are saying that you're going to come in and, you know, be a dictator. He said, I don't want to be a dictator except for day one, right? He said that except for day one. So one day, you know, what was that XTC song back in the 80s? King for a Day. He said, except for day one, he said, I want to close the border and I want to drill, drill, drill. I mean, this is no, I don't want to be a dictator other than just day one. I want to close the border and we're drilling, drilling, drilling. After that, I'm not a dictator. Well, first of all, so that's rhetoric, you know, that he's saying that's what he wants to do. He's showing you how much he would. The mechanism, Community Notes Wannabe and others, to be a dictator for a day, although I would argue that when you have executive orders going out, you have a little bit of that going on, but we have a system that's functioning right now that is checks and balances, right? Between the three branches of government, the push and pull. I don't think there's as much push and pull as there used to be, but there's push and pull. So he couldn't do it. First of all, I mean, I want to be 6'3". Ain't going to happen, right? And number two, it was, hey, I want to be, he's saying, I want to be a dictator for a day because he wants to close the border. In other words, he's like, not sure Congress is going to do it. And the drill, drill, drill thing, did you see where Biden on the way out? This is just making busy work. Did you see that where Biden said, well, he's going to close down drilling? Now, of course, Trump will open it back up. But this is just, it's making busy work is what it is. And Biden is talking about banning offshore oil, gas drilling. I wonder if people can watch this. I don't have time right now while I'm talking, maybe at the break, to check futures. Can somebody go check on oil futures? I don't even think they move. Because Biden's doing this on his way out, and you know Trump is going to put it right back in because it's executive action, executive fiat that will be undone by another executive fiat of Trump. Reuters reporting Joe Biden will ban new offshore oil and gas development along most U.S. coastlines. The move is considered, here we go, even Reuters. The move is considered mostly symbolic as it will not impact areas where oil and gas development is currently underway. And if he was serious about it, he would have done it, 4 years ago, right? But he didn't. and they actually bragged about, because there's some truth to it, an increase in oil and gas production while Biden was in office. Even though he would constantly, I mean, at one side of his mouth, he's saying he wants to shut it down, but he didn't. Now, on the way out, he's like, oh, yeah, babe, I want to shut it down. And you know that Trump will come right back in. I don't know that he even moves the needle there. So there's the commentary community notes want to be on the dictatorship. So truly, when we were told that by Vice President Harris and President Biden and the Democrat electoral machine, that Trump would be a dictator, he was going to come in and take over, not just day one, he's going to take over, right? Which I don't know how that would work, but he was going to take over, do that. Then would you sit by and certify the elections, community notes wannabe, if you thought this was coming? If I'm sitting there and I got a chance to vote on, you know, well, we got you to, Sullivan, you got to come in here and certify this Adolf Hitler guy. I'm not there. I don't make it that day. I'm gone. So if you truly believed it was this huge thing, then would you be standing there doing this? Just answer that question for me. Community notes wannabe. All right, David, not that it's ever going to happen, but are we going to actually whistle past the fact that Canada is actually 10 provinces and would demand to be admitted to the United States as 10 separate states? Not whistling past anything. I'm just trying to make it easy. Could we select, how about this? David, could we pick certain provinces and not have others? Like Manitoba, like a guy like me that would love to go one day up on a waterfowling trip up in the Canadian prairies. But you got the issues, you know, getting guns across the border into Canada. This is just a little bit of a pain, I think. Can we just annex Saskatchewan and Manitoba? Although the Northwest Territories are cool. I don't. Yukon Territory. There's cool. You know, I don't know. We could pick which ones we want in. A named texter says, news breaks are highlighting Abby Stockard winning Miss America 2025. That's awesome. Allie Mims was the Alabama teen competing for Miss America teen. She finished first runner-up, second place, which is worth some praise as well, I think. That's awesome. Great for both young ladies. Abby Stockard, we heard, Miss America 2025. And Allie Mims, Alabama teen competing for Miss America teen. There's a lot, talking about a lot of dedication. I've got some, been around that world growing up. It's a long story. Through family members, not anybody here, but removed family members, about how the beauty pageant world exists. But I do know, watching this, that these young ladies put, like you're talking about training for, you know, D1 league football. I mean, this is what they do when they're training for the, they live this stuff. I mean, it becomes, they put a lot of time in it, for sure. Joel in Summerdale said, hope you all got a TV in the studio. Oh yeah, we got monitors in the studio. He said, Kamala Harris looks like a deer standing in the headlights of an 18-wheeler. While they meet to certify Trump's election win in Congress. I love it, love it, love it. She gets to sit there and face it like a fool because they are. Actually, so Joel, I've been watching it. Like right now, she kind of has just a serious face on, but she was smiling and like at the beginning of it before it even got started. Marty said, really? I love the XTC reference. You're an old fart just like me, Sean. My favorite XTC song is The Mayor of Simpleton. Love that song too, Marty. I know they have a lot better stuff, but I was MTV junkie and heavy rotation back in the day. Happy New Year. Marty, you and I both were. I mean, remember when MTV was a big deal to watch a new video come out? I know I'm just sounding like an old man here, but it was a big deal. You know, the VJs, you know. That's, we got some Alabama roots in that as well. That's a conversation for another day. Yeah, king of all unnamed texture said Biden said he would cure cancer. His words, yes. Okay, so community notes wannabe said, you can try to twist any way you want, but that's what he said. I read what he said. I'm not twisted. Here's the thing. I don't like, my whole self-value is not wrapped up in your liking or not liking of Trump. Like I said, I'm a guy that's probably now with the new term, you'll hear me disagreeing with Trump on things from time to time because I'm way more old stick-in-the-mud conservative than I am a populist. But I wasn't twisting anything. Telling you what he said. I think he might be doing a little twisting myself. All right, be right back. John Sharp joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Now they're still certifying in Washington. A little more than halfway through the stack, and keep your eyes on that story as well. Bring on my buddy, of course, for the first time in the new year, be one of many times in 2025. John and I always like to talk, and gosh, with all the stuff going on in the city of Mobile, we'll be extra busy. John Sharp from AL.com joins us now. Hey, brother.
Hey, Sean. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Yeah, I want to start, and we'll end up more on the politics side for Mobile in a little bit, but one of the stories I was reading, and people can read your stories over at AL.com, and this one with the lead, and interview you did, I thought this was like, it was interesting right off the bat, because you're talking to Elliot Mazel, right, and his now move to be over the airport authority, right, so there's that, but I mean, John, that was like, that's a news story, but that was 1/50th of your story in your interview with Elliot. That was fascinating.
Yeah, he's a fascinating guy. He has, and he's been in, you know, he's been chairman of the Mobile Airport Authority for quite some time,
right?
You know,
but he hadn't been running it, right? He's been on the board.
Well, yeah, he has. He's not the president or the executive director, but he is the board chairman. And he had a very high profile position as the chairman. You know, if you go back in time, maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, this was a board that nobody paid attention to.
Right.
The media didn't cover it. It didn't get any attention. And then, you know, he got appointed by the mayor and really elevated this board. He was a significant personality to elevate this board into a kind of a high-profile position. And obviously, with the airport swap being the big enchilada there. So, you know, that's been his baby all along, really, and working that with Mayor Stimson. And, recently, though, he announced that he was no longer going to continue in that chairman position. And he's moved into a role called Chairman Emeritus, which was part of the reason why we did that Q&A. I wanted to get more idea of what that meant and what his role will be going forward. And it sounds like it's going to be a lot of lobbying and pushing to get the financial arrangements in place for trying to incentivize some airlines to come to the new airport when it opens and kind of get some of the ducks in a row there.
Is that much, you know, I think about the conversations I had, because I was wondering if that's much different than the president of the Mobile Airport Authority's job, because my conversations over the years with Chris Curry, who's now not there, those were the things he and I talked about, right? His lobbying and kind of being a salesman for Mobile, going to different airlines and traveling and being like, hey, guys, you know, I mean, that sounds like it's kind of similar in that position.
Yeah, somewhat similar in that position, kind of taking that role on. Interestingly, there's no longer what you call a president of the Mobile Airport Authority. There's now an executive director. I don't know the exact differences in that, but I think some of those responsibilities that you mentioned, the traveling and the lobbying and that sort of thing, Elliot's going to handle a lot of that, it sounds like, going forward as chairman emeritus. And so some shifting and moving there. But, you know, interestingly, you know, in my conversation with Mr. Mizell, he's, you know, a well-known executive in town for Gulf Distributing, and they're in the process of moving their headquarters to the old Press Register building there on Water Street.
How was that? I mean, I'm reading, I kind of get a vibe because you're asking questions in this interview that y'all can see online. But, I mean, that's your old haunts, man. They're moving in there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, that's a large building there. Really has, you know, been vacated ever since the Press Register moved out. And, you know, he's got some vision for that building. I mean, I think Gulf Distributing obviously is going to occupy a substantial portion of that building, but he'd like to lease it out to other businesses as well. You know, that got plans for utilizing that property for entertainment purposes, perhaps company oriented entertainment purposes in the, you know, the beer industry provides. But the plan is for them to move down there and be in that building. And you can, if you drive by there, you see there's some work going on the exterior. But you know, the plan is to be in that building sometime. I think it was in the summer this year. So They're in the process of moving out of their longtime home on Moffett Road to downtown Mobile. And you know, he feels bullish about downtown Mobile, and so it'll be interesting. They're bringing a couple hundred people to the downtown area. So
he's doing it on both fronts. We got the, you know, it seems like the airport going to be, you know, Brooklyn. It's downtown, and they're moving their business downtown. You know, maybe in both things, that's showing. You know, in one position as the guy that's running Gulf Distributing, but the other one, you know, on the airport side.
Exactly, and so that led me to my next question. It was like, we're going to argue some. So, what are you thinking about for politics in 2025?
Uh-huh.
He's a busy guy. No, he's not running for mayor. He was, you know, when you think about some of the business executives that kind of have a higher profile in the community, he was one of them. So obviously, I wanted to ask him that question. He kind of put that to bed. That, you know, he feels like it's not the time for him to run. That time might have been about 10 years ago. He's about the same age as Mayor Stimson, so you know, he just decided, you know, this is he's keeping an eye on the way things will proceed with the mayor's race, but he's not going to be involved in it.
And I want to come back to mayoral politics here in a second, but it was interesting too. I mean, I want folks to read this. I mean, growing up, you know, being in Mobile, you always heard of Gulf Distributing. It's interesting when you talk about, you know, he talked about how many employees they have, but how many places. I knew like Mobile and Pensacola, but it's like, I mean, Panama City, Montgomery, Birmingham, Huntsville, plus they're invested in companies in Louisville and St. Louis and Fort Worth and Colorado Springs. I mean, pretty good footprint for Gulf Distributing.
No, you're correct. It's a huge company. They have along the lines of about 1,400 total employees in Alabama, and about 300 or so are headquartered here in Mobile. So, yeah, their tentacles are long. They have a big reach, successful company for the community, and exciting things to come with them moving closer to downtown.
Also, there's so many asides here, but it was just really a fascinating read. You know, and I don't know if Gulf Distributing was one of them, but around the country, CBD and THC and all that was discussed, alcohol companies would work against that. That's competition. But now I guess we've seen buy-in. And I see this stuff in stores, and I don't know, like, how it all got. But they're now in the business of those, were they CBD or THC drinks? I mean, you see them at the store. I mean, right there, like, with the beers and stuff.
Right, they're like a seltzer. It's like the old Zima seltzers.
Zima, you're aging yourself now. Zima, Zima.
So that's exactly what it is. That's what that Cheech and Chong beverage is all about. And so, yeah, this is something that was authorized through the Farm Bill several years ago, and heading out to the stores now. And you know, it falls in the purview of the federal law, Gulf Distributing, they've entered into a service agreement with a company called Ocean Distributing Company, and to push these beverages out to stores that want to take them in the southeast here. So that's about all I know about it at this point in time. It's a relatively new thing, and it'll be interesting to see, especially on the state level, where this might go as well. But this is something that was approved through the Farm Bill in 2018.
All right, so here's the pivot, here's the transition, right? So you mentioned the mayoral side of it and him saying he's not running. Also, of course, news today former AL1 Congressman Jerry Carl has announced as of today he is not running for mayor of Mobile as well. So there's some names off the list. So what are you looking at? I mean, I know we've named a bunch of names out there. What are you hearing? Scuttlebutt, we've got, really, it seems like Connie Hudson, the only one that's fully in that can run. I know Steve Nodine said he wanted to, but there's some hurdles he has to get across. So what are you hearing?
Yeah, correct, with Nodine. I did notice he was at, I believe, a council meeting last week, so he is engaged. But, he's got some hurdles before, you know, we can start talking about that. But, Connie Hudson was, right now is the only one that has filed any paperwork with the Alabama Secretary of State's office. She even filed a monthly campaign report, raised about $20,000 last month. She has over $170,000 in the bank right away. She has not officially announced whether or not she'll run, but interestingly, this week we have the city, county, state of the county addresses. Those are this Thursday. Golden opportunity, I think, for her to see whether or not, you know, she'll want to make an announcement after that event. So we'll see, you know, whether or not it'll be officially announced. But I think, you know, her name's out there a lot. You know, the documents speak for themselves in the Secretary of State's office. She's a well-known entity in the community, and, you know, she's been in office for a long time. So she has the name recognition. And so that's one person that, I don't want to say is a 100% yes, but it's pretty definitive at this point.
Yeah, I mean, she has not said it, but I read your stories of reporting when you change your campaign funding. I don't know. I mean, I'm just a kid from Mobile, but gosh, it seems like that means you're running.
I agree.
On the fundraising side, too, so she's got the money at this point coming in, but I look at this and said, I thought we'd probably have more people announced by now because it's going to take some fundraising. If somebody doesn't already have it in their checking account, this is not going to be like, I think this is going to be big spending in this mayoral cycle here in Mobile. This is kind of a big deal. This is a big city, you know, in our area. I don't think it's going to be something you can run with just the money you have left over from Christmas.
No, you're correct. It was big spending back in 2013 when Mayor Stimson defeated incumbent Sam Jones.
Yeah, that was. I forget what the number was, but I remember you and I talking about it back then. That was significant.
Yeah, it was well over $1 million. And I mean, I would imagine we're looking at those figures. We got a wide open race here. We may be surprised, though. Maybe there aren't going to be as many candidates as we initially thought. But at this point in time, I still think that, you know, we're going to hear some names come out in the next couple of weeks, especially if Commissioner Hudson, solidifies that, you know, and then announces that she's going to run. That, you know, probably may weed out a few candidates and may encourage others to take the step up and make an announcement. But I would imagine, you know, if you want to run for mayor, you're gonna have to start, you know, I think before Mardi Gras, we're going to see some movement here. Because, you know, Mardi Gras in this city takes a lot of attention away from the politics side of things. So if you want to lay your groundwork and put your name out there. Now, the month of January is a golden time. We got a late Mardi Gras, too, this year.
March 4th. And I would say it takes a lot of attention away during Mardi Gras, but also I've watched people running for office use it quite well, whether they're in a parade or they're making sure they're at all the events, shaking hands. It's set up for politics,
totally
too.
Totally agree. We saw a little bit of that at the Moon Pie second line. There was Commissioner Hudson's kind of taking the place of Mayor Stimson at the event this year. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of interesting. If you read the between the lines there, she was walking down, pictures of her walking down Royal Street with former Councilman Richardson and some of the existing council members. So, yeah, that was not so subtle, I thought. But opportunities galore to get your name out there. You know, the Mardi Gras is not really like a old fireman truck parade where, you know, you put elect so-and-so and their cars on the float and as a float in the parade. But, yeah, it's an opportunity to be seen and get your name out there a little bit more. So we'll see.
And you'll see like some like in the floral parade stuff and all that, you know, they can get in.
So thinking
if someone's serious, you'd think they'd be rolling on with it now. But listen, you and I will have a lot of time to talk about that between now and August, I think. So remind folks, too, I'm talking about all these articles I'm checking out from you. Where do they go find you?
Yeah, I'm on X at JohnSharp99. I just put some pictures up there today of the demolition out there at the Civic Center. Keep that in mind. Next 2 months, a lot of movement on that front.
Yeah, and it looks like some part of a Terminator movie out there, too.
Yeah, it does.
All right, John, Matt, I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Sean.
All right, there he goes, John Sharp, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1253 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. If you're worried about your plants, I heard Dalton quote me this morning. I've been saying that for, gosh, working with Dr. Bill for all these decades, and I always just did it to frustrate Dr. Bill. He'd say, you know, it's getting cold tonight, Sean, and you have to take care of checking on elderly and pets and pipes. And I said, yeah, that's right. You put a blanket over the elderly out there in the yard, and you bring the pets inside or something. I always act like I didn't understand it and used to frustrate Dr. Bill, which is why it's amusing to me. So when you hear me say, make sure you go put the frost blanket on Grandma and bring the pets inside, that's or the plants inside. Speaking of bringing the plants inside, so my buddy Bill Finch is going to join us here in just a little bit. You're wondering what's happening with the cold coming up for the next couple days. Well, he's going to walk us through what you need to do to make sure you don't lose those plants. I got some questions. I got lettuce and turnips and radishes that are doing their thing. I don't want to lose those, so we'll talk to Bill here in just a little bit. All right, to the text line here, Avit says, Sean, we don't want Quebec, and I'm on the fence regarding BC or British Columbia. British Columbia is gorgeous, and there's parts of Quebec, like if you get out of, although, you know, I would say the cities in Quebec, there's, like in Montreal, I've gotten to go there one time, I was there like for 2 days, gorgeous city, but if we're predicting the states that we would make the province of states, I was just saying, for sure, I want Manitoba and Saskatchewan, we'll talk on the other ones, but British Columbia, there's just gorgeous places in Canada. A buddy of mine said, with all the Canada talk, what he sent me here, he said, let's see, David says, in light of Trudeau's resignation and Trump's new term, the stars have aligned to execute the ultimate vision for America. And he links me to the mid-90s movie Canadian Bacon, where there's like a, if you fake a Cold War against Canada. Good. That's what we need. Start right off. Listen, Trump would jump at that. That would be something like, hey, that sounds like a great idea. All right. Michael says it's crazy that a campaign will cost 10 times more than position pays per year. Yep. It's all the other people that want somebody for sure to be elected. I really do. I mean, if you think about what, and John makes a good point, what the last, you know, that cycle when you had Sam Jones and Stimson running, I see this as being $1 million. That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised there's not more people that haven't announced for sure so they can get out and fundraise. I think there's going to be a lot of money spent in the Mobile mayoral election. And maybe they're, you know, made up by a lot of people spending a little bit or just a couple, you know, heavyweights slugging it out, spending bigger money. Let's see. Randy, Sean, do we know who Mayor Stimson is backing, if anyone yet? No, we do not. He has not said he's backing it. That has not been announced. We're going to have hopefully the mayor on here in the next couple months. I got to ask him to get him on. Maybe we can talk to him at that point. But I don't know that he would endorse somebody right now. I don't know that he would do it at all. This question for him, though. IT Jesus says, so you still have time to put your name in the hat for mayor, Sean. LOL. Yeah, LOL indeed. Anybody got time for that? Ashley in Loosedale said, my favorite thing about protecting your animals from the cold is when you rig up the heating lamps just to find the cords chewed up the next morning. It's because they're not, the animals, they don't know what's good for them, do they, Ashley? Do they? No, they're, yeah. The cows will be fed, you know, we'll feed some extra hay to the cows and extra feed. They'll make it through. But yeah, it's going to be getting cold. I mean, it says, you know, Ashley, you and I both live out in the country. I think in town, we're supposed to be talking about, Dr. Bill said, maybe upper 20s to mid-20s, because that's going to mean not just for the icebox of Mobile County, as I always point out, the cold spot. You know, like when they do the national thing, they'll talk about the coldest places in America. Leadville, Colorado is on that list. So is International Falls, right? Those are the iceboxes. Mount Vernon is Mobile County's icebox. They'll be going low, but those of us out in West Mobile or get out in town, dealing with the hardest freeze of the year for sure. I don't mean the year like 2025, smart aleck. I mean like of the winter. So we'll get Dr. Bill Finch, and his take on what to do in your yards and gardens. You want to save those plants for another day? Well, he'll help us do that coming up in just a couple minutes right here on Midday Mobile.